بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وخير خلق الأجمعين، أبي القاسم محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، صلوات. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing with our talks with regards to the changes which took place after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the reason why Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah deemed it necessary under divine guidance that he should make a sacrifice in Karbala in order to do what? Not introduce a new religion, not to introduce new fitnas or new ideologies into Islam, however, to return Islam to the truth which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented to us. Tonight, we want to look at the last Khalifa Uthman and how he was one of the main people who instigated the Battle of Karbala. When Uthman came into power, one of the first things he did, which nobody else did before him, is he began to put his family members or those who were close of kin to him in positions of power. He neglected the side of religion. He neglected the side which asked the questions, how much did they know about Islam? How familiar were they with the teachings of Islam? And how well did they practice these teachings? All this went out of the window. What he took into consideration was how close were they to him and not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we find Bani Umayyah were related to Uthman. Some people say by blood and some people say by marriage. Who was his advisor? His advisor was Marwan. Now Marwan, we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw him out of the Islamic peninsula at the time. Why? Because he was one of the people who was staunch against Islam. Yet in the time of the first and the second caliph, he was brought back. Those who were banished by the Prophet were brought back into what is now called the Islamic world. We also find Umar ibn al-As. Now we mentioned in the first few nights that depend your personality, your teachings, the kind of individual you are is somewhat dependent on the house which you was brought up in. Now I'm going to say this briefly and move on, and I'll let you make your judgment. Umar ibn al-As, when Aqil alayhi salam Allah, the brother of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, was called to the court of Muawiyah. Muawiyah said, Aqil, you are the best amongst the Arabs who knows of our lineage. So tell me, who is in my court? Who do I keep for company? When it came to Umar ibn al-As, what did he say about him? He said, him, six different people claim to be his fathers. Which says what? Something about his mother. Six people claimed to be his fathers, so they had to draw names out of a hat. Lucky dip. So now I will say that this was one of the advisors of Uthman, and we will leave that to where it is. Now, more than that is the people who were put in power, which had no say in Islam, were who? Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan was put in charge over Bilad al-Sham, which is now known as Syria. After Yazid passed away, his brother Muawiyah took control over Egypt and Syria. With due course, Muawiyah had total control over Egypt and Syria. Now Muawiyah ruled longer than anybody ruled before him. And I specifically use the term ruled because he was not a Khalifa. He was more of a king, more of an emperor. When he took control, You need to understand that for a period of 50 years, the Islam which was introduced in these countries was not the Islam of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The Islam which was introduced was the Islam of Banu Umayyah. An Islam which was what? Never believed in life after death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions in the Quran al-Kareem that from the people of Mecca, none of them even believed in life after death. Let's look at what Yazid ibn Abi says. Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Yazid was a well-renowned poet, and he also knew the Quran. Because why? One day he was drinking, and he turns to his companion and he goes, "Give me more alcohol, add, give me more wine. Give me more wine, for Allah says, waylun lil musallin." And he didn't say, waylun lil, those who drink. He says, Allah in the Quran, see, he didn't read the rest of the ayah. The ayah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, woe be to those who pray, or those who worship Allah. Those who take what? They're worshipping lightly. So someone says, I'll pray, yeah, but I'm going to go play football, and then I'm going to do this and do that, and I'll come 12 o'clock at night to pray Salat al-Dhuhr. So Allah says, woe be to those kind of people who take their prayer lightly. Yazid here says, he says, look, even Allah threatens those who worship. He says, give me more wine, for Allah has sworn to punish those who worship and not those who drink. So this is the kind of person who doesn't believe in the Akhirah, so much so that he uses the Quran to mock the religion. This kind of rule obviously has an effect. One poet is talking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. And this is one poem which was turned into a noha. And it's very, very, very famous in the Arabic world. I doubt anybody who speaks the Arabic language has never come across this. It's called Ya Hussein of the Mayadna, O Hussein in our conscience. So he's talking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Now this poem takes three steps. First, he speaks of his love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Then he speaks about the state of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. And then he speaks about what? He speaks about the dhulm which was done to those who only said, we love Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. He says, they charged us tax to visit your grave. Then they said, we will cut your hands. Then they said, we will kill you. So in this poem, now the thing with poetry, in those times it was a form of expression. When you couldn't say something directly, when you couldn't say the truth directly, you would turn to poetry. Here he mentions something which was very much the truth in them times and today. He says, and the people of every country follow the religion of their kings. If a king says we pray on Friday, then we pray on Friday. If the king says we don't pray on Friday, then we don't pray on Friday. This is exactly what happened when Muawiyah took rule. He did what? He said after every khutbah and Salatul Jum'ah, you will send la'na on Ali ibn Abi Talib, and you will introduce new fabrications into the religion where you damn the Prophet and his family and you praise us, not as us as in Banu Umayyah, but no. You say that there are no relatives left for Rasulullah, and that Ali, Hassan, Hussein and Fatima are Khawarij, and that me, Muawiyah and Abu Sufyan are the only relatives of Rasulullah. That my son Yazid is the grandson of Rasulullah. So these people began to take Muawiyah as someone from Ahlul Bayt. So much so that when the Sabaya were brought from Kufa to Sham, one old man comes out from the mosque and he's holding the Quran in his hand and he sees Imam Sajjad alayhi salamullah. And he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to the one who humbled you and made Islam victorious. So he says to him, oh man, do you know who we are? He says, no. But surely you are of the evil ones. He says, that Quran in your hand, are you familiar with it? He says, yes, I am. He said, do you know it? He said, yes, I do. He said, have you come across the verse of the Quran which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, surely Allah wants nothing more than to purify you, O the household of the Prophet? He says, indeed I have. He said, we are that household who Allah has purified. He said, oh man, have you come across the verse of the Quran which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and verily your Lord asks nothing from you, except that you love those who are the near of kin to Rasulullah? He says, indeed I have. He said, no, that we are that near of kin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically talks about. He says to him, do you know Fatima Zahra? He says, yes I do. He says, I am the son of Fatima Zahra. And that is her son, her last son, his head is on the spear. Look at it, how it recites the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf. So this man goes crazy. Now he's realized the truth, that Yazid is not the son of Rasulullah, whereas Hussein alayhi salamullah is the son of Rasulullah. So he starts to curse the people, and even though he is an elderly person, he runs towards them. And he begins to curse them, so much so that they say, kill him before there is an uprising. Before he wakes the conscience of the people, kill him. So they killed him. In the court of Yazid, there is a priest, a Christian priest. He looks towards the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah and he says, who is this individual? Then when he hears khutbat Sayyidina wa Mawlana Sajjad alayhi salamullah, he says, had Hussein been from us, meaning the Christians, then verily by Allah we would have built for him a shrine in every town and in every city and in every part of the world. And we would have called the people to Isa ibn Maryam through the name of Hussein. So what does Yazid say to him? Yazid says, if you was a Muslim, I would kill you. But you're not. So I will leave you to blabber on. So what does the man say? He says, if being a Muslim is what is it, what is required for me to die for the love of Hussein alayhi salamullah, then here I say today, ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and I bear witness that that head which is reciting the verses of the Quran is the wali of Allah. Sallu ala Muhammad. So Yazid says, strike his head. So he says, what an honor it is for me to stand before Fatima Zahra for the love of Hussein alayhi salamullah. So Muawiyah, through his propaganda, through what we can call his media, which at the time was what? The minbar. Turned the entire world against Ali ibn Abi Talib, either by what? By giving them riches, by giving them seats of power, by telling them that he is the only one who is related to Rasulullah. So he played on their emotional feelings for Islam. Because don't forget, not every single individual met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they only had to go by, what did they have to go by? They had to go by the person who claimed to be the Khalifa. If they didn't believe him, they went to the mosque. In the mosque where the henchmen of Muawiyah, who were telling the people that Muawiyah was this, Muawiyah was that, Muawiyah was everything which he was not. So now these people walk around praying, praising Rasulullah in the name of Muawiyah. One of the people who was used by the three caliphs and Muawiyah himself to change the hadiths was who? Abu Huraira. Now, it goes without saying, alhamdulillah, we are in a country where education is available to all of us. You go to certain parts of the world where people are ignorant, not because they want to be ignorant, but because those who rule over them have forced them to be ignorant, because through their ignorance, they keep to their positions. If I am a ruler, and I know that everything I do is wrong, if I know amongst the public there is someone who can question me, then what? I know my rule is limited. So what do? I make sure everybody's ignorant. I make sure they don't get educated. That's where no one can challenge me. Again, the metaphor of Ibrahim alayhi salamullah, when he destroys all the idols and he only leaves one, the people come back and they say, well, Ibrahim's a troublemaker, let's go to him. Ibrahim, who destroyed our idols? He says, ask the biggest one if he's capable of answering. Here he's telling them what? Start thinking, start questioning, become knowledgeable. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The very first thing Allah said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is read. Not that Rasulullah needs the knowledge. Rasulullah is the knowledge. Because we in the school of Ahlul Bayt have a hadith. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down with Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Sorry, with Jibra'il. And Ali ibn Abi Talib is only in his teens. He walks into the room and Jibra'il stands and he bows down. So Rasulullah smiles. And he asks the question which nobody else thinks to ask. He says, Jibra'il, أَتَعْلَمُ مَنْ هَذَا? Oh Jibra'il, do you know this person? Have you made his acquaintance before? He says, كَيْفَلَا? How can I not know this person? He said, when did you meet him? He said, when Allah first created me. He said, who are you and who am I? So I couldn't answer because I had just been created. I had no prior knowledge. So this young man came and he said, when Allah asks you the question, you say, أنا العبد الذليل جبرائيل وأنت المولى الجليل. I am the low, humble servant جبرائيل. And you are the highly elevated and the highly praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Jibra'il, when was this? He said, in here, in the planet of earth, your time is directed by the coming and going of the sun. For us, we had a star. Whenever this star would shine in our cosmos, then we'd know that a day or a year has passed. So Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah removes his hair from his forehead and he says, is this what you saw? The star was on the forehead of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now here I just want to say one thing. How does Imam Sajjad alayhi salam Allah describe Ali ibn Abi Talib? ذَاكَ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبُ Ali ibn Abi Talib. That illuminous star is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. And this is how Imam describing him. So now, these people, this is just with regards to saying that knowledge is the key to everything. And Rasulullah is the one who's been told to read. Rasulullah is saying Ali taught Jibra'il. Rasulullah is the one who taught Ali ibn Abi Talib. So my mind just is not enough to get. I can't contemplate what the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. If Ali teaches Jibra'il and Rasulullah teaches Ali, that leave that to one side and that should suffice to say of who the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam Allah is. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد. Now, through ignorance, again, what do? We oppress. When we take a position of authority and we force the people to be ignorant, we have oppressed them. And when we have oppressed them, then what did we do? We took away the very simple right that Islam has given to every human being, which is their freedom. Muawiyah alayhi rahmatullah oppressed the people's minds. However, what did he do? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he said, free your mind. Leave this dunya, this material things. I'm not saying leave them totally. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, work for your akhirah and do not neglect your duties in this world. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to you? He says, work for your akhirah. But you also have a right in this world. Don't neglect your right in this world. Fighting in Islam is haram under two conditions. When we start the battle, then it is haram. If we start the battle without telling the people the truth, then it's haram. And when we are oppressed and we do not fight for our freedom, then it also becomes haram. Allah says, when somebody is oppressing you, if somebody broke into my house and I see him killing my mother and my sister, and I sit down and I say, no, Islam is a peaceful religion. I'm not going to fight. No, Allah says that's haram. Why? Because you had a responsibility to defend yourself and defend that which is yours. So again, here, Islam didn't come to tell you just work for the akhirah and forget this dunya. No, Islam said work for the akhirah and work for the dunya. However, what? This dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't become too attached to it. When Muawiyah came, Muawiyah totally neglected the akhirah and said, be attached to the dunya. And he found a group of people which were with him. So what did he start to do? He started to give them gold. He started to give them diamonds and emeralds and anything you can name he was giving away. Then he began to expand, if we can call it an expansion. In the name of what? In the name of Islam. However, for him there was more taxes to be collected. The more people that came under the ban of Islam, there was more land, more riches for him. This was the case in all the first three khalifas. However, with Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah, when he was fighting, he wasn't fighting to expand Islam. No, he was fighting to defend Islam from those who were trying to harm it from within its own boundaries. Because one person comes up to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah, and he tries to insult him. He says, in the time of the first three khalifas, Islam was expanding. And there was no civil wars. Walakin, in your time, we've seen one civil war after another civil war after another civil war. Why? Listen to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Allah's response. He says, when they were in position of authority, they had me. I was constantly around them. Walakin in my time, I have you around me. You're the ones who are the troublemakers, not me. You're the ones who enjoyed the luxuries, the bounties which were given to you by oppressing other Muslims. But when I came into power, I took these things away from you and I gave them back to their respected owners. And you didn't like it. So what did you do? One day you began to follow a woman who killed 10,000 Muslims in one battle. Then another occasion you came and fought me at Nahrawain. Then you fought me at Siffin. Then you fought me and you fought me and you fought me. You didn't fight me for kalimat la ilaha illallah. You fought me for yourself. Whereas I fight to defend la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah Aliyun Waliullah. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So, returning to the main point here is what? Is that Muawiyah in his time did not rule as anyone before him ruled. At least those who came before him in a subtle way claimed Islam. Whereas Muawiyah claimed nothing about Islam. Like we mentioned in earlier nights, one person is invited to the court of Muawiyah and he sees the food and he begins to cry. Why? Because Muawiyah is having stuffed duck intestines. With what? With the brains of birds. So how many birds were killed? Whereas one man says to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, he sees Imam Ali eating. So Imam Ali alayhi salam Allah takes out a small sachet, a small sack if you would like. Then he takes out a bit of wheat and he puts it to one side. Then he closes it, he ties it, he takes out his seal of wax and he stamps it. So if it's broken, he knows somebody has opened it. So the man turns to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. He says, Ali, what led you to put the seal? Was it a selfish act or was it something else? Meaning what? Are you selfish? You don't want nobody else to eat from this? Or is it a different reason? Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah smiles. He says, selfishness and me never come along with the same route. There's nothing we have in common. So he said, what is it then? He said, this is a meager food. Very low sustenance. And it doesn't taste nice. I know it's very harsh on me when I eat it. So I put a seal because in case my children, Hassan and Hussein alayhim salam Allah, decide to open it and mix something there so that I can enjoy a better food, then I would know that they opened it. I'm not selfish. I just want to make sure that my children, out of love for me, they don't change what I eat. Whereas look at what Muawiyah does. Muawiyah is having luxurious food. Food where we've got, I don't know, Gordon Brown can't even come up with a dish that Muawiyah is having. In his time, the wine he was having, the grapes are brought from Palestine. The pomegranate is brought from Iran. The honey is brought from Turkey. All of this to make wine. Now you got to imagine, today we have British Airways and whatnot. Whereas in those times it would take about a period of 3, 4, 5 months. So Muawiyah sent somebody on a journey of 6 months just so he can have his wine. This is the one who people today call he is the Khalifa of Islam. This is the one who in their times they were making contrasts and comparisons between him and Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. Muawiyah's scheme was so cunning that when Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah was shaheed in the mihrab, in the mosque, and word reached Syria, what did the people say? Ali in the mosque? What was Ali doing in the mosque when Ali never even prayed? He changed the thinking of the people. He oppressed their minds. Through what? Some he took them to the side of ignorance. Some he took them to the side where they were dunyawi people. They were people who were attached to the materialistic world. So he started to do what? Manipulate these desires. Then there was a group of them who neither wanted the dunya and neither were they ignorant, so he ruled over them with the sword. And these were specifically the people of Iraq. What does Muawiyah say? Now the people of Iraq and Medina, they were people who at one stage or another saw Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. So they in no way could believe that Muawiyah was the son of Rasulullah or the cousin of Rasulullah. So what did they do? They began to question authorities. Now, what does Muawiyah say on his own tongue? The best witness is the one who witnesses against himself. He says, I am glad that I am ruling over the people of Sham. Why? Because they have never seen the Prophet. Number one. Number two, they are people who, when I enticed them with materialistic things, obviously we're not talking about the people of Sham now, we're talking about in his time. He says, when I entice them and when I exploit their worldly desires, they are easy to follow. They never question me. If I say I am the Prophet, they will believe me. Whereas Ali ibn Abi Talib has a harsh people who, even when they saw the Prophet, they would question. They are not ignorant people, they are learned people, they are scholars. Why? Because amongst them were the Jews and the Christians. And the Jews and the Christians were well educated before the Arabs. The Arabs in their time were ignorant people. Whereas the Jews and the Christians, that's why we find Medina accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came, what was their call to him? Tala al-Badr alayna. The moon has come our way. Why did they call him al-Badr? Because the people in Medina had amongst them Jews and Christians who were telling them that soon there will come a man from Arabia. He will be the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to break the bondages between anything except between mankind and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, these people were already educated in one form or another. Whereas the people of Sham, if they were educated, they were not educated about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why they were easier to manipulate. So now Muawiyah says what? Ali had people who were more difficult to handle. Whereas me, I had easy people to handle. That's why we find Muawiyah never oppressed the people of Sham, but he constantly oppressed the people of Basra, Kufa, Medina, Mecca. These people were under harsh rule. Whereas anybody who it was even thought to compromise with Ali ibn Abi Talib will be taken away and he will never be found again. Evidence to this, when you go to Syria, again, because it was the land of Bani Umayyah. In Syria, you will find what? Something which Muawiyah started, which is around until today. System of spies. Until today, they are around. This system, which was implemented by Muawiyah, is still around in Syria. So much so that when you look at the prison or the police station in Syria, what does it read in Arabic? Al-dakhulu mafqood, wal-kharuj mawlud. The one who is inside, forget about him. He doesn't exist no more. Don't ask about him. And should he come out again, then consider him that he has been born a new person. He's changed, trust me. The beatings we've been given him, he will never say what he used to say before he went in. Let's look at how the companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim salamullah were treated. Hujr radwanullah alayhi was taken with six others, and one of them was his son. They, after torturing him, they said to him, deny the wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, insult Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now here I just want to, in honor of these companions, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah said to the Muslimin and the Mu'mineen, he said, if they tell you to insult me, for that in for me is zakat. But if they tell you to reject my wilaya, never reject it, because in that is your akhirah. You will be in hell. But swear at me, just don't reject my wilaya. In your heart, conceal your faith. It's okay, it's not an issue. He wants to save the people. Whereas these companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they said to them, swear at Ali. They said no. So they said, swear at Ali. He said, no. So they said to him, do it or we will kill you. He said, you know what? I will deny the wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib on one condition. They said, what is that? He said, my son is still a young person. And I am afraid that he will go back to Ali ibn Abi Talib and he will tell him what I did. So I want you to kill him. So that he doesn't do what? He doesn't snitch up on me. In the common tongue. So they killed his son before his very own eyes. Salamullah ala Hujr. What kind of patience did he have to endure? Whereas Ibrahim asked his son, he says, oh my son, Allah has told me in the dream that I must sacrifice you. Ibrahim had to put what? He had to cover his eyes so that he doesn't see his son struggling. For him, this was a harsh thing. Walakin fi hubb Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah, Hujr says, Allah hasn't told him kill your son. He said kill my son. Look at the sacrifice. So when his son was sacrificed, what does he say? They say to him, now deny Ali. He says, What kind of ignorant brain is in that skull of yours? Do you think anyone in their right mind will deny Ali ibn Abi Talib? When we heard Rasulullah say this and this and this of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they said, so why did you have your son killed? He said he is still young. And I thought maybe the dunya will trick him when he sees the pain I go through. So he will deny Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now that I have secured his position in heaven before me, do what you shall do. So they killed him, and before they killed him, they said to him, what is your final request? He said, I am in chains and shackles. I want you to bury me in these chains and shackles. They said, why? He said, so when I stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will say, Ya Rasulullah, they did not even give me the right of a man to defend himself. They had me chained up. I did not even have the right to defend myself. We look at Abu Ghraib and we say, what kind of tragedies are happening? But truly these tragedies were happening because of those who claimed Islam, those who introduced Islam to the Western world of today. They introduced it with the torture, with the beheadings, with the suicide bombings. And that's why the people of Israel don't see it as a crime that they are killing our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Why? Because Islam was introduced to them as a religion of what? A religion of mass murder and extremism. So they said, you know what, if that's what you are, then this is what we will be. Whereas if the Islam that was introduced to them was the Islam of Ali ibn Abi Talib, again I will say, if they did not accept it, they would have at least respected it. Now this is talking about the majority. Obviously there are the minority who saw Rasulullah and they still were against him. That was a minority. Here I'm talking about the majority. Why all of the world is sitting down, hands crossed, and they're not willing to do anything about what's happening in Palestine. Why Abu Ghraib didn't move nobody. Why Guantanamo Bay didn't move nobody. This is the reason, this is the truth if you look back into it. When people turn around and say, you Shias are so harsh, why do you hate so and so? My issue, brothers and sisters, is not with the first Khalifa, because I never met him. Neither is it with Muawiyah, because I never met him. My issue is the issue that to me Rasulullah has showed me something so beautiful. Yet somebody came and changed this beauty and have polluted this image of Islam. My issue is with that individual on the basis that you changed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me. If somebody comes and gives me a hadiah, somebody gives me a gift, and somebody else comes and destroys this gift, there was nothing between me and you, O individual, that I should hate you, but now that you are destroying this beautiful thing which was given to me, of course, without any doubt, I will hold something against you, not for your individual person, but for the actions which you took about something which I held to be holy. This is what was done to Islam. In the time of Yazid, the actual Kaaba was destroyed. The Kaaba was burnt. Why did he attack the Kaaba after he killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Because he saw that when I killed the son of Rasulullah, nobody did anything. So it's okay. If nobody's doing anything about my murder of Rasulullah's son, then no one will do anything about the Kaaba. Because what is the Kaaba without the Ahlul Bayt realistically? Shaykh Ahmad al-Wa'ili says, when Ali was born in the Kaaba, it was not an honor for Ali, rather it was an honor for the Kaaba, because Ali alayhi salam Allah purified it with his presence. So now my issue with these people who came after Rasulullah and they began to change in his sunnah is not because of who they were or who their parents were. However, when I say who their parents were, I'm only trying to point out to you that look at the house which they were raised in. Then you can understand, because I will tell you so and so did this, you say, no, far be it from that individual. His mom and dad were constantly in mosque. I always seen him pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can never do this thing. Whereas if I tell you this person grew up in a house which the mother was known to be something, and the father was known to do something else, and he was in a house where men would enter and walk out without anybody asking questions. Shaykh Ahmad al-Wa'ili says a poem about Khalid bin Walid. He says, I don't blame him for what he did to the Muslims. Because if my mother's garden was so small, the garden wall, then inevitably men would be walking in and out of my house. What is he saying? This kind of person, what kind of mother brought him up? So now, when I mention these things, I'm trying to show you that it is possible for this individual to do these things. Why? Because the environment he grew up in didn't forbid him from doing anything wrong. The environment he grew up in knew no boundaries. It knew no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yazid and his father both recite these poems. They say, played the children of Hashim with mulk. Bani Hashim played with the kingdom. No archangel descended and no book was revealed. Meaning what? I don't even believe in Akhirah. I don't even believe in the message, which was brought. Why? Because for me this is a political game. I as an individual believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit in that cave and he used to ponder on how he will turn the minds of the people into a kingdom. Astaghfirullah. Far be he from that. You name me one thing Rasulullah took with him. One thing. Whereas his wife, alayhi salam Allah, Khadija, sallu ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Khadija, alayhi salam Allah, used to be one of the richest, if not the richest woman in Arabia. She used to sleep on silk. She gave all of that for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali and Fatima are the highest. Walakin they will always be lower than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ali says, when me and Fatima, he says, we had one blanket. If we turned it sideways, it would not cover our feet. And if we turned it in the other direction, it will not be enough to cover the two of us. Look at how they slept. So I can only imagine how Rasulullah and Khadija, what did they used to have now? When Khadija gave up this life of luxury for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Rasulullah says, had it not been for the riches of Khadija and the sword of Ali, Islam would have never prevailed. Rasulullah could have just married Khadija alayhi salamullah and become what? Become one of the richest men, most respectable. He was already the most respectable individual. Yet he was giving to the Muslims. He wasn't taking from them. Lakin when I turn around and I see in the history that Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and Muawiyah and Yazid turned khums and zakat into a personal thing. Khums and zakat in the time of Rasulullah, no one used to come to your door saying, give me the khums and give me the zakat. No, you will give it. If in my town I know that A and B have no sustenance, then I will give them my khums and zakat. When I know it's compulsory on me to give, I will go and give it to the individual. Well, I can, in their time, they used to have a tax collector who would go around knocking on the door, give me your khums. Then that khums goes back to them and then they begin to purchase their palaces. The idea here is what? You came and introduced things into Islam which were not in Islam. You changed the whole philosophy of Islam and took away the sacredness of Islam. You stopped people thinking of the Akhirah and made them enticed into the dunya. So my argument is with what? I am fighting for the holy thing which Rasulullah gave to me. I'm not fighting with you because you're rich and I'm poor. No. Far be it from that. That's not the issue at all. When Ali ibn Abi Talib was fighting for Khilafah, when Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah stood against Muawiyah, when Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah goes against Yazid, see the audacity here is what? Is that people think Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah went for what? For riches. Biabi wa ummi, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah grew up in a house where the Christians of Najran acknowledged, they said, we see faces. If they ask Allah to remove the mountains from their places, they will move. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So the idea here is what? Ahlul Bayt alayhim salamullah could have asked for anything. One very ignorant person from a different school of thought. He says, he say your Mawla Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah can do everything. This is a debate between him and one sheikh. So he says, ask your Mawla now to bring you a cup of water while we're sitting down here. The sheikh, mashallah, his knowledge is far-sighted. He didn't give dalils, no nothing. He said, okay, you wanna talk like this? He said, okay. He said, right now, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a cup of water. The guy didn't say nothing. He said, ask Allah, let's see if he will answer you. He said, when you say things like this, you insult the intelligence of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salamullah. I can ask Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah for a cup of water, and I guarantee you it will come here, no doubts. Well, am I going to waste my time For me to believe in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah's imama, do I really need to see a cup of water? No. Realistically, brothers and sisters, I will tell you of one miracle. Every time you see a picture of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah's shrine, it stands out right before you, only if we was familiar with our history. One of the minarets of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah's shrine. And inside, all the noble stones which you see in his shrine. There was a dispute between one of the Ottoman empires. In the Ottoman Empire, there was a dispute between the Khalifa or whoever ruled and one of his subjects. So this subject gathered an army. When he gathered his army, at the final moment, before the battle started, his army abandoned him. So where did he flee to? He ran to Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. He said, Sayyidi wa Mawlai, I know that with Allah there is a special position for you. I promise you, if you save me from this man's wrath and his vengeance, I swear by your status that I will build you a minara and I shall decorate your shrine with everything that I own. So when he was captured, now this person who was coming after him was known for his wrath. If he wasn't, then this guy wouldn't have come to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. But he was known for his wrath. Now listen to the miracle. This guy was forgiven, and not only was he forgiven, he was given a higher position than he had before. By wasilah of who? Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. So now this person came back to fulfill his promise and he went and built that minara. We see the gold on the minara. We see all these things inside the shrine of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. That is one evidence that is there before you. You want more proof? The fact that Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah's shrine still exists to this very day. 2 million people go to Hajj, while I can 10 million people go walking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. How many times was the shrine destroyed? And yet it remains. In one point, they actually flooded it so that it could not be seen. So the people who found it, they said, we came and we were smelling this beautiful scent. We knew it's not from earth. Until we reached this place, then we saw the river flowing. So we said, let's build a dam. When we built the dam, we saw the holy graves. The companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the first to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, was blind. How did he find the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah? He said, I followed the scent. Some people think, well, what kind of scent was he following? Hadith al-Kisa, what's every time one of the members of Ahlul Bayt walks in, what do they say? I smell a beautiful scent as if it is Rasulullah. I smell a beautiful scent as if it is Rasulullah. One woman came to Fatima Zahra alayhi salamullah. She said, oh, the daughter of Rasulullah, give me something as a gift. I am newly wed. So she said, one moment, she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, oh father, give me a shirt which on it is your sweat, so I can give it as a hadiah. She says, I took this shirt from her. For 7 generations, look, from the shirt, for 7 generations, every time a woman from my family has a child, that child smells beautiful. Through what? Through the shirt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about the sand which underneath it is the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Bi abi wa ummi. When Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam Allah says, Tubtum wa tabat al-ard allati fiha dufintum. He says, pure is what you are. And the land was purified when you was buried in it. Ya Abu Abdullah Hussein. When I turn to someone like that, Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam Allah, man comes towards him and he throws money towards him. He says, here is your zakat, as if the Imam wants it. So the Imam picks up grains of sand and as he lets it go, it comes down as gold. He says, we can do this. We don't need your zakat. Zakat is for you to save yourself from Jahannam. I don't need the riches. Don't need none of it. Well, I can what? The zakat is for you. So someone who's ignorant, who hasn't even understood the concept of Islam, comes along and he says, what? Ask Imam Hussein to give me a cup of water. If you think Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah doesn't give you the cup of water, then I tell you something. May your mother weep for you on the day of judgment. Because you know why? It's the father of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah who will be standing at Hawd al-Kawthar, and he's the one who will give you the cup. So if you denied Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah the status in the dunya, believe me, in the akhirah it's too late for you. So this is one thing you need to understand with Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, that he did not go out to fight Yazid because he wanted some petty materialistic thing. When his father Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah, again the house which he was raised in, what does he say? He says, what is between Ali and a dunya where his sustenance is little and his flavor is dull and everything from his beauty is not everlasting? What does Ali ibn Abi Talib want for this dunya? So away from me, for I have divorced you by three. Three times Ali ibn Abi Talib divorces the dunya. Meaning what? There's no coming back to it. When I left it, I am not intending to come back to it. That's the house that brought up Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. That's the house that brought up Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah. Now certain people, I want to dedicate this night to Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah, and time is only giving me 15 minutes. So I want to briefly, quickly look at Hassan alayhi salamullah's life. Why? Tomorrow we'll be reciting the masayib of the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. And tonight I want to recite on Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah, simply because how many times do we remember Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah? And how many times do we hold majalis outside the death of Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah? For Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah. When I look at Karbala, I see Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah has a golden dome. When I look to Jannat al-Baqiyah, I see the brother of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. His grave, the sun is constantly beating on it. As if we forgot that Fatima Zahra has two children. As if we forgot Rasulullah says, Al-Hassan wal-Hussein Sayyidi Shababi Ahlul Jannah. As if we forgot Rasulullah saying, Hassan and Hussein are a part of me. So tonight, I want to dedicate to the one who from the beginning till the end supported the movement of Karbala. So much so that when Janab Qasim alayhi salamullah comes to his mother and he says, my uncle does not permit me to fight, she goes through the belongings of Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah and she takes out two letters. One of them is for Qasim alayhi salamullah. Oh my son Qasim, a letter from your father. Make me proud on this day. Do not leave your uncle alone. And the other one, oh my Hussein, my beloved darling brother, even though time has forbidden me to be with you, I have with you my son Hassan Qasim alayhi salamullah. So do not forbid him from fighting. Let him fight as if it was me fighting. Hassan alayhi salamullah, even after his death, he was supporting his brother. Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah. Now this I want to say with aspect of unity. For Muslims, when we say coexistence, someone says, well, no, I'm not going to turn around and believe in coexistence between Palestine and Israel. I'm not going to believe. Why? Because I know Israel are a bunch of liars. Let me tell you something. Do you think for one moment Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah believed Muawiyah when he said, I will keep to my promise? No. But Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah dedicated his life to give us at least this one lesson. That when there is chance for peace, go for it. And even when you know 100% that they will betray the peace, still go for it. Go for it, because why? When they break the peace treaty, it's not on you, it's on them. Go for it, because when you are given time for peace, you are saving those who have no means to fight. You are saving those who today might not be able to flee. And if a war starts now, then they will die. But if you give time for peace, then they will think, you know what, we know this peace is not going to be lasting forever. This will be a time to save ourselves. Let us move away. Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah. Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah says, my brother Hassan was more patient than me. Some people think Imam Hussein is stuck for Allah. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah says in Nahjul Balagh, and the Rusul of Allah, the messengers of Allah and his walis are all equal. Walakin, it is the public out of their ignorance who compare one of them to the other. How can anyone come and say Hassan is better than Hussein or Hussein is better than Hassan? They have their respected positions, so please don't compare. They are one. You want to know how they are one? One man from Bani Umayyah comes to one man from Bani Hashim. And he says to him, he says, Banu Hashim are more generous. Why? Because he sees Muawiyah giving out freely. They are more generous than Bani Hashim. Bani Umayyah are more generous. So the other man replies to him, he says, no, Bani Hashim are more generous. So they both decide that we're going to go. One of us goes to my people, Bani Hashim, and you go to your Bani Umayyah. And we will meet up tomorrow at the appointed time and we will see who gathers more money. The guy from Bani Umayyah goes to one, two, three people. And he says, I am in need. So each one of them gives him 1,000 gold coins. Or 10,000. Go on, 10,000. Let's be saying Bani Umayyah are so generous. 10,000 gold pieces. This guy from Bani Hashim goes to Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah. He says, Mawlai, I am in need, so give me. Because you are the most generous. Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah gives him 100,000 gold pieces. This is from one. Whereas that man from three, he gathered 30,000. So then he goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. He says, Mawlai, I am in need, so give me. Look what Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah is saying. In their words are wisdom. He says, why don't you go to Hassan? He says, I've already been to Hassan alayhi salam Allah. He says, and how much did he give you? He said, he gave me 100,000. He said, I will not give you not a coin more, not a coin less. I will not give you not even one coin more than Hassan, because I will not have it said that Hussein is more generous than his brother. First of all, Imam Hussein sends you where? Back to Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah. Then he says, I will never have it said that I am higher than Hassan. So you who claim to love Hussein, never ever, don't you ever make the mistake. Because I've heard some people say it, unfortunately. Never make the mistake between saying one is better than the other one. Or why did Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah not fight? Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah did oppose Muawiyah, walakin the people that were with him abandoned him, so much so that he almost was killed. And he was only left with a few of Bani Hashim. Not he was killed because he doesn't know how to fight, no. Bi-Abi wa Ummi, he's the son of Haydar al-Karrar. That means he could have taken everybody out single-handedly. Walakin the message here is what? Islam is not about blowing myself up. No. Islam is about being patient. Islam is about not fighting the individual. Islam is not about killing an individual. Islam is about fighting that ideology of oppression in his mind. It's about when I kill that Satan which oppresses the minds of the people, within the minds of the people. I kill that Satan in the heart of the people, not the individual. Do you think the angels cared more about mankind than Ahlul Bayt did? The angels' first concern was what? Will you create someone who will shed blood? You think these angels who were taught by Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah care more about creation than Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah? No, Ahlul Bayt see the shedding of blood as something so unholy. Walakin they only do it when it becomes forced upon them, not they force it on people. No, when someone forces it upon them, not when someone attacks them. Because we see here, when the Ahlul Bayt are attacked, they don't retaliate. Walakin when the tenets of Islam are attacked, that's when Ahlul Bayt defend it. So Ahlul Bayt are not fighting to defend themselves. Otherwise, we had, how many imams do we have? We have 14 masumeen. Out of the 14, 12 are imams. One of them is a messenger, and one of them is Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Only two of them died by the sword. Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hussein alayhi salam Allah. The rest were killed by poison. They could have went out and fought. Walakin, what are they trying to show? That Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah's movement was what? Again, I will say, live like Ali, die like Hussein. Why? Islam in the time of Ali required somebody to live for it. Walakin, in the time of Hussein alayhi salam Allah, Islam was in a dire need of a great sacrifice which will shake the foundations of dhulm. And that sacrifice had to be Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah took a treaty with Muawiyah alayhi la'natullah, a peace treaty. Part of that treaty was what? That Muawiyah, you will not put anybody and you will not appoint anybody after you. Rather, you will leave it for what? For the Muslims to decide, and I will appoint the Muslims. So Muawiyah signed the contract. Walakin, the moment he signed this contract, he put it beneath his feet and he stepped on it. And he said, this is what was between me and Hassan. And this is what I see it as. This is how I value it. It's nothing. One of the pacts that was there was what? That after Muawiyah passes away, he will leave it for Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah to pick from amongst the mu'mineen someone who will elect a rightful khalifa. So he knew in his supreme design that for him to keep khilafah, this position within his own blood for Yazid, that Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah has to be killed. So he comes to who? He comes to Jada alayhi lanatullah. And he says to her, you are the wife of Hassan. I will promise you that you will be the wife of Yazid. And you will be the ruler amongst the women of this religion, this empire. Only if you give the poison to Hassan alayhi salamullah. So she comes to Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah and she brings him a cup of milk. In it is the poison. So Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah takes one sip. She says to him, drink some more. He says, get away from me, O woman. I have drank enough to satisfy your need. Meaning what? I know the poison is there. And I have drank enough for it to kill me. So that's it. Be satisfied. Get away from me. I don't want to see your face. So she runs away back to the court of Yazid. Why? Because she knows that Banu Hashim might kill her. So she flees. When Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah drank the poison, it wasn't any normal poison, no. It was so strong and so concentrated that Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, when he's talking to his brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, he was crying. Then he says, oh Muhammad, I saw Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah coughing from the blood. That his liver was cut to pieces by this poison. That when he coughed, part of his liver came out and it was on the plates. This is Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah watching his beloved brother Hassan alayhi salamullah. What's the state of Zainab when she entered the room? She sees the liver of Hassan alayhi salamullah on the plate. She weeps and calls out, oh, the son of my mother Fatima, what have they done to you? When Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah was shaheed, before he died, his final will was to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. My brother Hussein, when you come to bury me, they will attack my body. They will throw arrows at me. Do not retaliate. Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah had to have his ghusl twice, O mu'mineen and mu'minat. Why? Because a woman threw an arrow at his holy body. Zainab had to witness the liver of Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah in Medina. Walakin Zainab saw two plates. On one of them was the liver of Imam Hassan alayhi salamullah. On the other one was the head of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah. When she enters, Imam Baqir alayhi salamullah says, when Zainab was brought in to the Darbar in Kufa, when she was brought in before Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad alayhi la'natullah, she walked in and she saw Ubaydullah with a stick poking the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, hitting it until the teeth began to fall out. Then Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad began to insult Zainab alayhi salamullah, so much so he got up to hit her. One man grabbed him, he said, don't hit her. He said, why? He said, look at the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. Wallah, the eyes are following Zainab and they look angry. I am afraid something will happen to us. At this moment, Zainab turns to one of the heads on the spears, the head of Abu Fadl Abbas. Abbas, you was the one who brought me from Medina. Now your sister is all alone, no one to defend me. And the children of those who consumed alcohol insult me. Ya Allah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi la raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إلهي, by the patience of سيدنا ومولانا الحسن بن علي عليه السلام الله, help us endure the sufferings and help our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine endure the sufferings. Give them patience, Ya Allah. إلهي وسيدي ومولاي نسألك by the heartbreak of زينب عليه السلام الله. Give them patience, bring to them a quick relief, Ya Allah, by hastening the ظهور of سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. إلهي آمين. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, show us the true Islam through him. Show us Islam, the true Islam of Rasulullah, where nobody, as we say in the dua, that the whole world will be filled with justice. Ya Allah, show us that Islam through your Imam, Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, so much so that everybody will join this religion, this beautiful religion. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam. على أشرف المرسلين وخير الخلق أجمعين أبي القاسم محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم